Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Radiant Cash Management Services Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. And I'll hand the conference over to Mr. Raju Barnawal from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Neerav. Good morning, everyone. We welcome you all to Q2 FY25 earnings call of Radiant Cash Management Services. Today, we have with us the entire management team represented by Colonel Dev Sahayan, CMD, Mr. T.V. Venkatraman, CFO, Mr. Colonel Ben, COO, Mr. Alexander Davy, GM Operations, and Mr. Muthuraman, Director Advisor Strategy and IR. Now, without further delay, I hand over the call to Dev sir for his opening remarks, post which we can start the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Raju. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today for Radiant's investor call. We're happy to report a healthy performance for this quarter ended September 30, 2024, with a 9% revenue growth and a 20.9% PAT growth over the same quarter last year. Better performance in our new initiatives of Ace Money and Valuable Logistics segment contributed significantly to this healthy improvement in profitability for this quarter. I spoke about five key strategic initiatives taken by the company during the previous year in our earlier investor calls. Here is a quick update on these initiatives. Ace Money is growing at a healthy pace and has started contributing to the profitability of the company. With its twin focus of onboarding merchants across the country on its digital payment infrastructure and improving transaction volumes through its network, Ace Money has emerged as a key player in the fast-growing fintech sector in India. More details will be shared by Mr. Alexander Davy later in this call. Diamond Bullion Jewelry segment is growing at a healthy pace, though yet to achieve EBITDA break-even in this quarter. Closer integration with the operations of Retail Cash Management segment and improved utilization of existing infrastructure has sharply reduced costs in this division, which has contributed significantly to the growth in EBITDA and PAT for the company in this quarter. The third strategic initiative of increased focus on direct clients has continued to report very good results. From less than 2% at the time of our listing, this segment accounts for 13% of our revenues in this quarter. The market potential for this segment is enormous and holds strong promise for continued growth of our core business in the medium to long term. Our Cashvan Operations segment continues to grow in this quarter, reporting 10% sequential growth over last quarter and a 56% growth over the same quarter last year. Though EBITDA margins are slightly lower in this segment, a healthy ROCE in this segment contributes significantly to the overall healthy ROCE of the company. Lastly, Radiant InstaCredit that we launched last year is yet to scale significantly. The company is in the process of augmenting its team and marketing efforts to take this product to a much wider target market, which were hitherto untapped, providing significant opportunities for growth in the medium to long term. The core business of retail cash management is facing certain headwinds because of economic sluggishness witnessed in few segments of the market. This has resulted in an overall muted revenue growth of 9%, well below our long-term historical average growth rates. However, the management is confident of restoring the growth to its historical levels with the support of the five key strategic initiatives which we discussed earlier. The improvement in profitability continued for this quarter. EBITDA margins have improved by 248 basis points from 16% in Q2 FY24 to 18.48% in Q2 FY25. The sharp improvement is on account of strident cost control measures taken by the company, reduced losses in the DBJ segment, and a healthy turnaround in performance of Waste Money in this quarter. Our core strength, that is lowest cash losses in the industry by a wide margin due to robust risk management framework, widest network of over 75,000 plus points across 15,000 plus PIN codes, and a strong second level management team to execute our shared vision have all contributed to the healthy performance in this quarter. We continue to maintain the highest return on capital employed and return on equity in the industry. We are excited about the journey ahead. As always, we remain committed to providing transparent updates on our progress and answering any questions that you may have. I will now request Mr. Alexander David to speak about the progress achieved in Ace Money, followed by Mr. Venkat Ramanan to speak about the financial performance and KPIs.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining this earnings call. I would be presenting the update on Radiant Ace Money, our fintech subsidiary. I'm glad to inform you that Radiant Ace Money has clocked rupees 52 million in revenues for this quarter, almost 50% higher than the full revenue of rupees 35 million clocked last year. This rapid scaling also has also helped achieve healthy EBITDA margins for this quarter, justifying a significant return on our investment in acquiring this company last year. I would like to present a few numbers to put our scale of growth in perspective. We have installed over 35,000 POS machines in the current financial year, with a target to cross over 65,000 machines for the full year FY25. Our transaction volumes in the current financial year crossed a significant milestone of rupees 200 crores and stood at rupees 211 crores as on September 30th, 2025. We have significantly expanded our geographic presence across the country with a current team size of close to 100 employees. Despite all this, we are still in a very nascent phase of growth. We have large ambition to increase our footprint across the hinterland with the support of the strong pan-India network of the parent company, Radiant. Key success factors for our growth are a strong leadership team, our state-of-the-art technology platform, favorable regulatory environment, and our group's strong network, particularly in Tier 2 and Tier 3 towns and villages. The most gratifying aspect of our growth is that we are bringing digital services to rural population and retail outlets that were hitherto not part of the fast-growing digital economy of India. This is clearly visible from the list of states that are top performers, that are Assam, Odisha, Uttar Pradesh, West Bengal, and the home state of Ace Money, Kerala. The rest of the financial year is quite promising, both in terms of revenue growth and profitability. We will continue to provide regular updates on the progress of Ace Money to our investors as we scale greater heights in the coming months. I will now request our CFO, Mr. Venkat Raman, to present our financial performance.
Thank you, Alex. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining on this investor call today. I will present the company's key performance indicators and financial performance for the quarter and half-year ended 30 September 2024. Starting with business performance, during the first 6 months of this year, we added 26 new clients, 228 new end customers, and 4,296 retail touch points in our retail cash management business. In this six-month period, we handled rupees 0.82 trillion of cash in line with our recent past quarters. Today, we service over 74,000 touch points covering 14,800 plus pin codes across 8,900 plus locations and continue to have the widest network in the industry. Coming to sectoral performance, for the second quarter ended 30 September 24, the overall revenue growth was 9.5%, which is lower than our historical average on account of extended monsoon and a sluggish performance of few sectors of the economy. Despite this, we witnessed healthy growth of 18% in e-commerce and organized retail sector over same quarter last year and 10% growth in BFSI segment. We have also witnessed healthy growth of 57% in the cashman operation segment. However, e-com logistics witnessed continued growth as mentioned in our earlier earnings calls, which has muted our revenue growth to 9.5% in this quarter over same quarter last year. We continue to report strong growth in our direct client segment, which has more than doubled in revenues in this quarter over the same quarter last year. Our DBJ segment continued its growth trajectory, reporting 48% sequential growth over previous quarter, albeit on a small base. Our recent launch of InstaCredit is also being received very well in the market and will help improve the revenue growth in the coming quarters. Coming to the financial performance, consolidated revenues for Q2 FY25 were rupees 1,086 million, representing a sequential growth of 7.3% over the previous quarter. Consolidated EBITDA margins for the quarter stood at 19%, an improvement of 130 basis points over the previous quarter. The continued improvement in EBITDA margins in this quarter were achieved on account of three factors. First, strong focus on cost control across all cost years, particularly with respect to van operations. Two, growth in revenues and consolidation of routes in RVL, resulting in much lower losses in this quarter over the previous one. Healthy positive contribution to EBITDA from Yes Money, our fintech subsidiary. The management is confident of further improvement in margins in the remaining quarters of the current year as well. Coming to return ratios, the consolidated return on capital employed for the quarter was 24.4% annualized. Return on equity for the quarter was 20.7% annualized. I would like to highlight that the ROCE and ROE for Radian continues to be among the highest in the industry because of our strong and clean balance sheet, very low cash loss levels, high fixed asset turnover ratio, and strong working capital management. In summary, the quarter has seen a continued healthy improvement in EBITDA margins over the previous quarter, despite the muted revenue growth due to extended monsoon and sluggish performance of few sectors of the economy. With the new initiatives bearing fruits, as highlighted by CMD in his opening remarks, the focus of the management is now on building new long-term levers for growth with a more diversified revenue profile and robust profitability. I now hand over the floor to Mr. Raju for Q&A.
This quarter has continued.
Q&A.
Okay.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Vikas Kasturi from Focus Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sirs, and congratulations to the entire management team of Radiant on a fantastic quarter.
Vikas, may I request you to speak a little louder, please?
Yes, Vikas, please go ahead.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Is this better?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. First of all, good morning, sirs, and congratulations to the entire management team of Radiant on a fantastic quarter. Sir, my question is on, I have two questions. So the first question is on the direct channel, direct, you know, you go and sign up new retail touch points. Sir, and you have seen a great growth in that channel, so from 2% to 13%. Sir, my question is like, would you be, you know, investing more in acquiring new customers through this channel? My request to you also as a shareholder would be that you take a 2 or a 3 year long-term view and try and sign up as many more customers as you can so that, you know, it helps in the growth of the business, long-term growth of the business. So that is one. And the second question I had was on the cash van operations. Sir, could you please share your thoughts and your vision on this line of business? Is it something that you wish to grow more aggressively, or where do you see this, say, 3 or 5 years from now? Those are my two questions, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Vikas, for your questions. Yes, direct clients will continue to be our focus of growth for the long term, because as we have been repeatedly saying, the market penetration for these services is extremely low, and the entire public sector bank except SBA do not offer this as a service to their clients. And the only way for us to tap those clients is through approaching them directly. So we are in the process of rolling out a larger plan of a national sales organization to reach out to every part of the country for signing up direct clients. And as you can see, that segment is growing at a much healthier pace than the overall company as a whole. And we expect this trend line to continue over the medium term. Coming to our second question on cash van operations. Again, as in this segment is also growing at a fairly healthy pace, but we are still a very small player in this segment, and we are fairly selective in the kind of mandates that we accept, which will meet our certain minimum threshold criteria on profitability and return on capital employed. Despite that, as in the market is huge, and we are seeing good traction, and we expect this healthy trend line to continue. To put broad numbers in perspective, today we are roughly about 180 vans in this segment, and our target will be to reach about 250 vans by end of this year.
Thank you, sir. If I may ask a couple of follow-on questions. So one is on the direct channel. Sir, what is the, you know, if you had to increase the share from 13% to say 15 or 20%, what would you need to do more of, sir? Would you need to hire more feet on street? So what is that that driver which will help you do that? And on the cash van operation, sir, again, what is the, if you wanted to grow this business, what would you need to do? Is it like buying more vans, or is it like procuring those mandates? What is the constraint here, sir?
On direct clients, it is market discovery. We need to reorient ourselves. All along we have been, our business has been largely bank dependent. So it is a reorientation of the entire organization towards doing direct sales. So there a whole host of activities are planned on that front. Because of competitive intensity, we would not like to elaborate too much details, but that is going to be our key focus growth area. In cash vans, it is almost always it is a bidding scenario, and depending on our strength in specific geographies and the pricing, the minimum threshold pricing that target that we have. We are selective in applying for those, only those that meet these return criteria. At the same time, the market is fairly large, and our ability to grow is also fairly healthy. Just to correct on this, it is not buying more vans. Almost all of these vans are still incremental vans, will be on lease basis only. Thank you.
Thank you for your responses, sir. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Abhishek Chawla, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning everyone. I just wanted to know, I am aware of the fact that your jewelry business is focused towards the wholesale side. There is a lot of traction in the e-commerce jewelry space. So is there any opportunity for Radiant to tap in the delivery of like the last mile delivery, or that is going to be left to the current BTCL and all these other players?
No, we don't have any intention of getting into the B2C retail space like that. As in, ours is a high-value, secure logistics with armed guards, armored vans, CCTV, geofencing, GPS tracking, continuous monitoring, network operations set, NOC to monitor, risk management. It's a fairly intense, high-cost infrastructure. We cannot afford to do use that for small value deliveries, etc. If there are opportunities for high value delivery, we could still explore.
Okay, got it. And the second question is, what is the situation right on the revenue model for the POS machine? Is it fixed or is it variable?
Can you just repeat the question? Voice is not clear.
The revenue model for the
handset, please, if I may.
Yeah, I'm speaking to you. Okay. The revenue model for the POS machines, like you will be charging a flat piece, or it will be based on the number of transactions they do through that POS machine?
Yeah, it's based on the number of transactions, and then the company will earn a commission based on the volume of the transaction.
And the value of the transaction as well.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Chandramouli Jagannathan from Patterson Securities. Please go ahead.
Companies overall, the 18% CAGR kind of a growth.
Clear.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, the overall CAGR growth 18% around is still on track?
Yes, it's still on track. We should continue to the second half also. That should be on track around that percentage.
I'm not exactly asking about this year alone. I mean, for the next 3 to 5 years, you have alluded few quarters ago, you know, kind of 16 to 18% CAGR growth for the next 3 years. So that is what I'm trying to ask.
Yes, sir. The overall long-term growth trajectory will be in that range of 16 to 18% revenue growth is what we are targeting, and fairly on track. As I said, the key growth drivers are the 5 initiatives that Chairman alluded in his initial opening remarks. Direct clients, Ace Money, Diamond Bullion Jewelry, and our core banking, core doorstep banking. So each of these and van operations, each of these will contribute to this growth.
When can we expect the Radiant goes back to the previous peak margin of about
20%? As you can see, there is a steady improvement in the margins. These are, as you said, for example, our investment in Diamond Bullion Jewelry is actually a long-term lever for growth. This is an investment phase because over a long period of time, the volume of jewelry that is moved and the corresponding logistics cost involved is quite large. In fact, as big or slightly bigger than the cash logistics itself. So these are periods where we are investing for a sustained long-term growth of the company, and we had indicated in the last quarter, the worst is behind us, and we are continuing to steadily improve, and so we should be hitting our past historical EBITDA margins in the next few quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shikhar Mundra from Vivo Commercial. Please go ahead.
Hi. So, is there any operating leverage which we'll see with the growth coming in, and what will be the levers for the same?
Yes. In fact, our business itself is a high fixed cost and a high operating leverage business because of the infrastructure for the van, guards, drivers, cash executives, and all the risk management system, etc. So, incremental growth above, say, for example, 10-12% revenue growth, the incremental growth will add significantly to our bottom line. So that is how it has been in the past, and we don't see any reason why it will turn in future. The margins are lower than what historical margins because of the these two reasons. One is a muted revenue growth because of specific reasons and segments, and our investment in new growth areas.
So can we go a little bit more granular and can you explain what are the fixed costs, quantify them, and what kind of margins can we expect when we grow around 15% per year for the next 2-3 years?
Yeah, so our fixed costs are the largest fixed cost will be the employee cost. The second largest fixed cost is a step variable cost is for the cash executives, cost of the service charge expenses. And third large fixed cost is the van operations, that is cost of van, guard and driver. So absorbing these three together, as in a sense, will account roughly around, I think, 60 to 70% of our overall costs. All of these are fairly fixed. So incremental clients, incremental points that we add, a significant portion of it, if it is our cash pickup and delivery revenues, there are no incremental costs of adding a point in an existing route. So that could significantly go down to the bottom line. On the cash burial segment, there is some costs associated, but still the rest of it will go directly to the bottom line. So the model itself is a fairly high operating leverage business, and the network density helps in achieving our profitability. So our focus is on adding more points in our existing routes. So today we are at 74,000 plus points, and as more points get added in this route, that will contribute significantly to our bottom line.
And our existing infrastructure is good enough to support what scale? I mean, till what scale can we revenues can be achieved with the existing employees, with the existing infrastructure in place?
There is no such capacity utilization that I can put. As in a sense, to put things in perspective, the van capacity is never a constraint. As in, each van can carry 5 crores of cash. As in, today we are doing probably less than 1.5 crore per van per day.
Okay.
So the van capacity is never a constraint, and manpower, it is not absolutely fixed. As in a sense, there could be some few additions, some new routes. If it comes in, we need to add a few people, and as the scale improves, some fixed overheads could go up, etc. But by and large, the incremental revenues do not have a direct correlation to that incremental costs. So if the revenue growth is healthy, that will translate to a disproportionate increase in our margin.
Got it. Thank you. And for the second half of the year, expect a similar growth like the H1, a Y and Y?
We are expecting a better than the first half growth.
Got it. What are the plans to use our cash? Because we are a very healthy, cash flow business. We did a lot of good ROC. So how do we plan to use the cash?
We can look at some investments in future at the appropriate time.
Okay. But as of now, there is nothing much on the cards to use this.
No, nothing else. As of now is there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So historically, if you see, about 50% of our cash flow from operations goes towards dividend payout.
Right.
And about 20% goes towards incremental working capital. And the rest is discretionary. At this point of time, no specific end use that is identified.
As and when opportunities come, we will share it with the shareholders.
And I know we have a very heavy dividend payout, so if opportunities are not arising, we might have a higher dividend payout as well.
I don't think we have anything of that in mind.
Got it.
Thank you very much. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Rushil Dedia from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So, sir, I had a small question which has been asked earlier. Our cash losses have gone up, right? So if you can just shed some light on that, can we expect it to go down in the second half of the year?
If you see the cash losses, these are fairly on a very small base, it looks like it has gone up. We see our historical trend lines, it is steadily coming down. As in last year, full year was about 0.004% versus this quarter is 0.0017% of the total volume of cash handled. So it is still lower than what we did last year. There has been a general trend of improvement in our cash losses, which is as it is the lowest in the industry by a wide margin. So we have, as in the sense, we have one of the most robust risk management systems in the industry, and our cash losses, we don't expect it to go up. And in any case, all the cash losses are covered by insurance. 100% of our movement is covered by insurance.
And here, just to give you all an idea, I'll request the Chief Operating Officer to tell you all about the strong risk management processes that we have.
Apart from the insurance that is covering comprehensively all the losses, our on-field risk management system covers for continuous audits, monitoring, and tracking of all the heavy cash movements. Then we got our system of advisors who are advising from the police forces in fast recovery of the cash that is lost, public action required to control the losses. Hence, that is the reason why the cash flow is continuously low. But then, being a high-risk industry, there is nothing that is predictable, but we control it by our measures that is on field.
Thank you.
Sir, I had another question. In the opening remarks, we mentioned that we are having some cost control measures. So, if you can just elaborate on that also.
These are mainly with respect to cash van operation costs on incurring the cash van expenses. We have controlled to a large extent in the first half. Can you finish? We are also controlled our losses on the DBJ business in the first half compared to last year. See, the second quarter compared to the first year. These are the two main cost control measures we are planning for the second half, which will be continued in the second half as well.
We also implemented a synergy plan between our retail cash management and diamond bullion jewelry segment, where the van infrastructure is being utilized during daytime in cash management and nighttime in the diamond bullion jewelry segment. So that has helped us reduce our van costs while maintaining the revenue growth. So that's also one of the reasons for our improvement in gross margins.
And sir, in terms of the DBJ business, we were expecting, are we expecting a break even this year?
Definitely, yes. As in, incrementally, not for the full year losses that we incurred in the first quarter and second quarter.
Expecting a break even.
Hopefully by Q4 we will be break even for sure. Q3 we are still aiming for that.
And sir, in terms of so just for my understanding, these POS machines that we've deployed, where exactly are we deploying them?
We are deploying them on a pan-India level, but based on our distribution network, we have done well in Assam, Odisha, Uttar Pradesh, West Bengal, and Kerala as well. But we are distributing on a pan-India level.
I get that, but my question is that are we distributing them at petrol pumps or retail outlets? Of what is it exactly?
Mainly retail outlets, kirana stores, any kind of small outlet which has not been brought into the digital footprint, we have been pursuing them to distribute these devices.
So are we doing this in the tier 1 or tier 3 plus?
Mainly the tier 3 plus. Tier 1, tier 2 is almost, most of the kirana stores are all already covered under the digital footprint of the government. This is all mainly tier 3, tier 4, tier 5 plus locations.
Just to add some context, rough estimates of number of different forms of retail outlets in the country is about 2 crores. And the total number of POS machines is roughly about 85 lakhs. That means 1.15 crore outlets have not yet got on any form of digital payment infrastructure. So our target is to reach those markets and bring them into digital payment infrastructure. So we earn revenue at the time of installing the machine and also earn revenue when the transaction happens through those machines.
And so when will we seeing the e-com logistics to come back up to what it was a year back?
Yeah, as in efforts are on, we have multiple routes to address the different market requirements of that particular industry, which is instant credit, which is evening pickups, which is holiday pickup, small volumes pickup, etc. So we are, our Radiant Insta Credit, our Radiant Ace Money, as well as tie-ups with a few third parties. We are hoping to get those the loss points in the e-commerce industry. Those points which are economically viable. There are some which are really small volume in remote locations which may not be economically viable at all. So besides that, as in those points that are economically viable, we are offering these multiple solutions to bring them back. It's taking longer than we expected, but we are confident that it will come through.
So can we see the Nestor cash management share as a segment growing to 30% in the coming quarters?
Can you please repeat?
My question is that the network cash management business, can we, it is as of today 20% if I'm not wrong. Can we see it going to 30%? And I guess that is a higher margin business, right, for us?
Yes, it is a higher margin business, but I don't see that. It is riding on top of our basic cash pickup and delivery business. So it cannot have a growth trajectory on its own.
Okay.
It is clearly linked to our this thing. And as a percentage of the total cash volume handled, it remains fairly stable over a period of time. We don't see any reason why it will break off and grow at a higher or lower rate than the base volume, total volume that we handle.
No, not the volume, sir.
Volume and link more. And link to that is revenue. So that is a purely volumetric revenue.
Okay. All right, sir. That answers all my questions. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Vasu Jain from Marcellus Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Can you tell me how much of the revenue in absolute terms is coming from new diamond bullion logistics business in this quarter?
It's less than close to 1% of the total revenue.
Got it. And how much would that be for last quarter YOY, as in Q2
FY24? Q2 FY24 is when we launched that business. There it is a very negligible amount in last year.
Got it, got it. And another question on cash logistics business, sir. How is the competitive intensity in the business currently? We see that the cash amount has gone down, but there is a revenue increase. So have we got any pricing benefit from banks or direct business? Can you throw some light on that?
Competitive intensity is not too high in this industry. It's practically a oligopoly business. So it continues to remain so. So there is no particular change in the industry dynamics that that has occurred in the last one or two quarters. It remains same as it has been in the past.
Okay. So have we got any pricing benefit because our cash amount has gone down YOY basis, but still our revenues are up? So is there any pricing benefit that we got?
No, see, it's not strictly comparable because many of our, a good portion of our revenues are based on the number of points that we handle, not on the amount of volume. 60% of our revenues is cash pickup and delivery, where the revenues is linked to the number of points, not the volume of cash that we handle from that point. So the correlation is not exactly one-on-one. To answer your questions, no specific price improvement has happened in this quarter.
Got it. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Asim from DAM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. So first question, I just wanted to, you know, get some sense from you about the ground level demand realities right now. See, listening to most companies' comments, you know, it kind of appears mixed. Now, October was perhaps nothing to write home about. Urban areas are perhaps still under stress, though rural markets are seeing some recovery. From your vantage point, can you talk about the ground situation right now at your end client level, how they are doing, and how does that affect our doorstep banking recovery in the near term?
So we have witnessed a healthy growth in Q2, and the trend is continuing in e-commerce. 18% revenue growth in e-commerce, corresponding volume growth as well. 18% revenue growth in e-commerce has grown fairly healthy for us. The BFSI segment is at about 10%. Our organized retail growth is 18%, but that is more because we are adding more clients in that segment in direct rather than because of the SSSG. Yes, there is some sluggishness in some specific sectors that we have seen, but overall, we are not seeing the October has been fairly healthy and for us, and so is the November so far.
So in growth for you guys, still more rather more coming from adding new clients vis-a-vis, you know, increasing throughput from existing clients right now?
Always it has been like that.
Okay. Okay, second question, just a bookkeeping one. For Q2, what would be the bank charges amount associated to your network currency business?
We won't be able to divulge those specific details because of confidentiality.
Okay. And last, I think just for my understanding, does getting direct clients involve any short-term incentivization for them to get into your fold and then you ramp it up, like, you know, like a customer acquisition cost? Or are direct clients margin accretive from the start itself?
There is no specific incentive we offer to the clients, because if we start at a low price, it is impossible to revise the price upwards thereafter. But yes, there are some customer acquisition costs that we incur in terms of our own team costs and all of that. So yes, it is. We believe it is fairly margin accretive, but pricing wise, it is the same across with a direct or through bank.
Okay, okay. And just one last clarification on that POS machine revenue bit. So is it completely variable to the value swiped, or is there also some minimum fixed fee also associated to it?
Yes, there is a minimum fixed revenue which we generate when the customer buys the device from us. And also, as the number of transactions go up, we earn a variable revenue on it as well.
On even individual transactions, there's a minimum floor value. Very small, but there's a floor value, yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I wanted to understand. I guess the machine thing would be a one-time thing when you install the machine, I guess. But, okay, there is a minimum floor value for every transaction. Got it.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayan from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to understand what is your net cash at the end for the first half?
It's about 77 crores as of end September.
Okay. And in terms of investments for this year and maybe for the next year, the cash, the lands, etc., what we want to purchase is all purchased now, or we have like some more to be spent in fixed capex for this year?
We have already completed most of the purchase last year. Last year we purchased about 220 lands, so that should take care of the business for the current year.
Okay, and what kind of capex for this year, sir?
Okay, it's not much. It should be about in the range of around 3 to 4 crores. That's all.
Okay, okay. So if I just look at your business in terms of pickup, delivery, network, cash management, in the last 6 quarters, if I see that the pickup, delivery revenue growth has been muted, while significant growth has come from cash van. For example, this quarter, I think it grew by almost 52%. So just want to understand, is there a realignment of the different business segments within? Is it like, can you just throw some light in terms of the cash van business, how it will grow? Or this is because of the deployment and buying of some of the assets that is actually showing up, and it will actually plateau at some point in time? Just want to understand these two business segments, how you think it's progressing.
Sure.
How does it progress?
Yeah. So to answer the last question first, it has no correlation with the deployment of assets, because we treat our van assets, whether it is own assets or lease assets, identically. And like CFO mentioned, we have done with all our van purchases. All future van hires will be only on vans will be only on hire. So that is to have no correlation to our revenue growth. Coming to your specific question on cash pickup delivery being muted, it is because of different factors that we have highlighted at various points of time in this last 6 quarters. The topmost reason is the loss of points in the e-commerce logistics segment. So that has affected our revenue growth. There are few segments which are by nature grow at a lower rates, as in petroleum, railway, or as in a sense they will grow at a lower rates, and there is very limited scope for adding more points in that, because we are already covering 100% of the client, and so there is limited scope for adding more points in those two segments. The brighter side, organized retail continues to grow at a healthy pace. E-commerce per se continues to grow at a healthy pace. BFSI is growing at a fairly decent pace and have significant scope for adding more points in organized retail as well as in BFSI. So our plan is that, yes, it has undergone some realignment in terms of which sectors are contributing to our growth. And we are hoping that we will be able to stop the losses and grow healthy in these identified sectors so that we can achieve our long-term trend line of about 16 to 18% revenue growth.
So this network cash management, and if I look at the pickup and delivery, so network cash management is more from the currency chest to the banks, right? Is that correct?
No.
No.
No. When we pick up a cash from on behalf of a bank, if the bank does not have a branch presence, we deposit that in our own account and then transfer it to the concerned bank or the concerned end customer. So that is a additional value added service that we provide and for which we charge the customers. So that is network cash management. Movement of cash from vaults to bank branches, etc., are done through cash run operations segment.
Now, the cash run segment, if I look at it, it actually we had around 114. If I look at it, that has actually been almost 3x in the last 2 years. Okay, so what has led to such a good growth in cash run? Did we get more clients, or we actually went deeper, or it's a combination? What led to this excellent growth in the last two years, I would say, if I look at a long term, and what growth you would actually ascribe to the cash in growth?
So, see, we are a fairly small player in that overall segment. I think our guess is roughly about maybe 6,000 vans are there in the market and growing at 10-12%, and we are at 180 vans. So it's a very small share of that overall market that we our presence is. So our growth is attributed, one, because of we raised capital in the IPO and deployed it for buying those vans, and those vans are deployed in this segment. But whether we buy or we take lease, as in that segment can continue to grow, and we are fairly conscious of at what price we can offer that segment if it has to meet certain minimum threshold. And more and more banks are getting moving away from unorganized sectors to organized sector in that business because of the RBI regulations being implemented strictly. So, which means that more RFQs are opening up for the organized players, and we are able to capitalize on a good part of that.
Thank you. Lakshmi Rana, I request to come back for a follow-up question. I request to all the participants, kindly restrict to 2 questions per participant and join the queue for a follow-up question. Next question is from the line of Chinmay Nema from Princeton Capital Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I have 2 questions. Firstly, can you give some general color on the first point pricing? How has it fared over the last 3 to 4 years? When you get into contract with your clients, is there a provision for price revising, or in general, how do you go about it annually? What kind of price revise revision do you take? That's the first question.
Okay, so our average price per point realizations fall in the range of between 4,500 to 5,000 rupees per point, all revenues included. And it has remained more or less same over a longer period of time. And we enter into long-term pricing contracts with the banks, and there is no provision for any annual escalations in that. As we add more points in that route, that help improve our profitability and pass on the cost increases. Otherwise, there is the pricing per point fairly remains static. Our growth drivers are largely by addition of more points than higher revenues from the existing points.
So is it competitive intensity because of which the realization per point has remained steady over the years?
No, that is the structure of this industry. That is the structure of this industry. It is not competitive intensity. The structure of the industry is we enter into long-term pricing contracts with the banks so that they can offer this product to their end customers in a transparent manner.
Understood. Secondly, could you talk about your wallet share with your different clients, especially your marquee clients? So if you're, let's say, if you're working with a bank, is it that are you handling their entire cash management operation in a particular region, or have they outsourced some of their operations to you among other players? Some sense around the wallet share.
See, wallet shares are extremely competitive information. We will not be able to talk any specifics on that. But all the combinations work. There are few banks where we are 100% provider. There are most banks where we are one of the two or three service providers. That's how the business is, as in, and quality of service determines our wallet share, and we have been able to demonstrate healthy quality of service delivery, which helps us maintain and improve our wallet shares.
And sir, lastly, in terms of loss of clients or loss of touch points, what's the strategy to handle this? Do you renegotiate your contracts, or do you let go of those clients? And in extension to that, in general, what is the reason for loss of touch points or clients? Are there any other services which they are able to avail, or is it business issues at their end? Some color on that.
I think your questions are extremely, the responses are fairly competitive in nature for our industry. Yeah? So we'll not be able to provide too much details on that. But
some qualitative color would do only very
specific. See, it's a as in competitive business, and we do what best we do. And the one difference, key difference is that unlike any other industry, the consignment that we handle is a high value product. So the customer or the end customer is not going to just switch from A to B because of 1 rupee difference in price. So we handled 1.7 trillion of cash last year for a revenue of 400 crores. So the instance, it is practically a class C item for each customer. Our pricing, what they pay to us, is a class C item. So it is not that the pricing is going to determine. It is quality of service delivery, risk management, and our ability to provide good quality MIS and timely responses and all of that. So, that's what determines our competitive position. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Rohan from Total Capital Services. Please go ahead. Rohan, may I request an
answer? Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Yeah, just to your point that where you said that we will be growing at 16% to 18% over the years going forward. So how much of that growth will be coming from our cash logistic business? And how much from our bullion business and ACE money? Like if you can bifurcate between the three.
About a bulk of it should come still from our core business only, because the other two are fairly small. The base effect will not move the needle much. As CFO mentioned, our valuable logistics business is hardly 1.5% of our business. ACE money is 2% of our business. So maybe slightly more, yeah. But bulk of the growth will come from our core business of cash logistics only.
Okay. So if you can give us an idea regarding like how you want to scale up the ACE money. Like currently, from as you mentioned, it's around 1 or 2%. Like if you have any targets to take it to say 10-15% over the years, if you can share the roadmap for the thing.
Yeah, currently our target is to onboard about 65,000 merchants for the year. We have done quite well so far. We're already close to around 45,000. So that is one of our important targets, to improve the revenue for Ace Money. The other thing is to improve the transactional revenue. Currently, we have converted quite a number of merchants into business correspondents, which will contribute well to our revenue over that as well. Things are moving forward. We anticipate whatever we have planned for the year, we should be able to achieve it.
And it's a quite a sunrise sector, and we feel that this will contribute very well to the overall business.
Sorry, Ron, you're not audible.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. This was just from my side.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as the last question. I'll now hand the conference over to the management for closing today.
Thank you, Raju. In fact, very interesting and absorbing questions from all the speakers. Thank you very much for that. This quarter has continued its trend of improvement in profitability. I am confident of continuing this trajectory with the help of strong revenue growth and continued focus on cost optimization. The opportunities for growth are tremendous, and our key strategic initiatives are clearly focused on capitalizing on these untapped market segments for a long-term sustained growth. I want to express my gratitude to each one of you for your continued support to Radiant. We are confident that our focused approach and strong performance will yield promising results for all stakeholders. Thank you for your time and your abiding interest in our company. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.